Today, as we've been saying, is the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, and we have Patrick Henry Bass with us here today, a senior editor at Essence, and also an author of a book called Like a Mighty Stream, The March on Washington, August 28th, 1963. Patrick, what do you think about this 40th anniversary?
Well, I think a lot. I mean, this is a very somber day, you know, and it's interesting because we now have Dr. King, the brand, right? And so in terms of the narrative of Dr. King, it's all been joyful and happy. You know, if you go to any restaurant today, anywhere in the world, really, during a birthday, when people bring out a birthday cake, they sing the Stevie Wonder Happy Birthday song with Dr. King, you know. You know, he's sort of frozen with I Have a Dream, you know, the I Have a Dream speech, which probably his most powerful speech, if not one of the most powerful of the 20th century. We've not talked that much about some of the tragic elements of the King legacy.
Which
one would be his death, you know?
Right, right.
And so he's remained forever young, sort of frozen in time. As, you know, you sort of feel like you could go visit him.
What's interesting to me is that, you know, we remember the I Have a Dream.
Right, correct.
We remember a lot of the emotional content and the marches in the streets and the sort of mobilization movement elements of the King legacy. But people forget that he was making incredible, challenging statements to the existing power structure back at the time that he was speaking in 1968. I mean, he was saying things that would be incredibly controversial today that I think few politicians would really even go for. Let's hear one.
And on some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when a man must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must take it because it is right. And that's where I stand today.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's the Dr. King that we don't hear on the Hallmark audio card.
It's goosebumps still.
It really does. I mean, he's just amazing. I mean, and we should have a national holiday celebrating him. But one of the things that people forget about Dr. King and his emergence was there were a lot of African-American leaders who were popular at the time as well. Roy Wilkins from the NAACP. There was Whitney Young from the Urban mm-hmm. League. There was James Farmer with CORE.
Yeah.
There was John Lewis. You know, Dr. King came about during the triumph of television. The I Have a Dream speech was delivered not only to 250,000 people who were there on August 28th, but it was the first time we had satellite. So it was broadcast around the world. And in many ways, where television sort of aided John F. Kennedy Jr. a lot and sort of didn't help Richard Nixon at all, television was a friend to Dr. King, and it was a relationship that worked very, very well.
Why is it frozen in time? Why have we built this fluffy version of who he was and what he stood for?
Because what we just heard is too uncomfortable for many people. I think that Dr. King today would be outraged at the public school system that we have in this country. You know,
wouldn't be saying, wow, a lot of progress, guys.
Absolutely.
Nice work.
He would not be doing tour visits. He would be taking pictures with the custodians and try to get a union for him, for sure. One of the other aspects of, you know, the civil rights movement that was key to its organizers was housing. And when you think about the subprime loan situation and so how many African-American families are affected by that and are losing their homes, I mean, that's disturbing.
Patrick Henry Bass is going to stay with us.
You're gonna stay with us.
He is our guest.
Okay. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.